Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Secrets of Success for Work-at-Home Moms. It's my pleasure to be your host, Arianna R. Fernandez, and we have another wonderful guest here today. As you know, through this interview series, we're interviewing several amazing moms and business owners who are working from home, running successful businesses. Some of them are in different stages of their businesses, but all making it happen in the real world, dedicated to being a mom and family, and dedicated to having a thriving, amazing business that makes a difference in the world. So since I, too, am in that same situation as a work-at-home mom myself, I can't wait to hear all the wonderful things these women have to say for my own business and also for all of you listeners to gain some knowledge and to make it a little bit easier on you or to learn some great tips that you can apply in your businesses. So today, without further ado, we have Gail Nowak, and she is just so wonderful. She's one of my business girlfriends. I'm glad to call her a friend and a business friend. And she is the story stylist. And so I'll let her take it away and really tell you a little bit about herself and what that is. So, Gail, thank you so much for being here. And do you want to take it away and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. And thank you for having me, Arianna. I really appreciate this opportunity to chat with you and you know, give some great tips to your audience, and thank you for the great introduction.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. And basically, my business is built on the idea that your story sets you free in your business and your life. And as the story stylist, I help coaches, consultants, and service-based entrepreneurs who are struggling to get the right eyes on their business, conceive, create, and communicate their own personal story. And then I teach them how to use that story in their marketing so they can attract the right clients and the right opportunities.
Yeah, that's so great. I just, you know, just a little personal thing. I love what she does, and stories are so important. And we all have a personal story that we don't realize how inspiring and powerful it can be to share that with others. You know, we don't see it the same way that somebody else might, right? We're attached to our own story, so so great what you do.
Yeah, you know, it's true. It's one of those things where it's so personal to us. It's something that we're so close to, and a lot of times it is hard for people to really see their own story and figure out what it is, and also to believe that people want to hear it. I mean, it's such a great way to connect with each other.
Yes, I agree. And so about your business, if you can just give us a little bit of information about how long you've been in business.
Yeah, you know, I actually started a copywriting gig in 2011, and I realized something was off with that. And I've always been a writer, and I have many years of copywriting experience in my previous professional roles. I actually started out as a journalist, but then I went on to become a marketer and a public relations director. So I thought, why don't I start my own copywriting business? And just seemed like a natural progression. But after about a year and a half, I was really kind of struggling to build it, and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, it just all felt disconnected to me. And so I went back to the drawing board, and with the help of my business coach and a brand strategist, the Story Stylist was born earlier this year. I think it was February of this year, and this was something that felt a lot more personal to me. It was something that I was connected to and really felt passionate about. And that made all the difference in the world for me. My business, once I basically started announcing that this is what I was going to be doing in my business, a lot of the pieces just fell into place for me. So I definitely feel that you've got to have a personal connection to launch and to build and to run a successful business.
That's true. That's so true. It makes a whole difference. It's kind of like being in your flow and working in your flow, and then things start to happen, opportunities start to open up. And I know that the last year you said, you know, your business has, but just in the last, you know, few months, you know, of really getting your business off the ground, you've had some amazing results and some, you know, amazing opportunities come your way. So I think it's important for everyone to know, like you said, you know, sometimes we've heard this from several other people who I've interviewed, is, you know, we start out with one, I guess, niche or one focus that we want, that we think is best, and it's always a transition period. You know, you have a starting point and then you realize it grows out of that. Very rarely do I hear somebody who says that they started with one thing and then they've actually stayed with that same niche that's been, you know, right. So there's no, if there's anybody struggling with that, you know, just keep looking and keep peeling away the layers, as I like to say.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, it really is an evolution. I, you know, I happen to be one of those people who wants it all figured out right this second, right now, and I'm working on that. So if some of the people who are listening to your series kind of feel frustrated and impatient about their businesses, it does take a little bit of time to really figure out what your foundation is going to be, and it's totally worth taking that time, because once that foundational piece is put in place, everything else becomes so much easier. When you're very clear about your brand, when you're very clear about your story and why it matters in as far as your business and the people that you're trying to help, that takes away so much of the struggle and the work that you would encounter if you didn't have those pieces in the first place. So it might feel frustrating at first, but just know that it is an evolution and it is a process, and eventually you will get there.
Don't I know it? I completely
yeah.
agree with you.
I know. You've been through this too. So
yeah. So now, when you said you had, you know, you some of the jobs that you had previously had, marketing and public relations and a reporter and all of that. And when you made your transition, let me ask, you're working home full time in your business right now?
I am working from home. I'm actually not working full time. I work 3 days a week in my business, and at night and on weekends when I have the chance. But I have two young daughters. One is 4 and one is 2. And so I spend, I dedicate 2 days a week. You know, the weekends, me and my husband are with them both. But 2 days during the week, I have them at home with me. So I basically have 3 days to, you know, to build and run my business. And it is definitely a balancing act.
Right. But you're not at a corporate job any longer.
I'm no longer in a corporate position. That's correct.
Okay. And when were you able to make that transition to, was it progression, or did you quit your job and then you started your business? Some people do it different ways.
Yeah, it was definitely a transition for me. You know, and I've known for a long time, I've known since college, really, that I've wanted to own my own business. And back then, I just didn't know what it would look like. But I was working in a full-time job, and I got pregnant with my first daughter. And that whole process of having a baby and being home on maternity leave and not wanting to return to work, but knowing that I had to return to work, that really helped me kind of reconnect with that dream back in college. And, you know, the position that I was in at the time, I actually after I had my first daughter and went back to work, I was able to work from home one day a week. So I had kind of started this transition of, you know, working in an office and working at home with an infant. So I kind of had a little bit of experience with this before I actually went out on my own. And it's hard to actually work and have your kids around. And it's especially hard when you're on someone else's schedule. You know, the beauty of having your own business and working at home in your own business is that you have more control and you have flexibility, and you don't have to have all the guilt that comes with it. You know, you decide, well, am I gonna focus on my kid, or, you know, do I have a deadline that I really need to deal with? And, you know, I'm going to decide, okay, it's okay if you watch a little bit of TV while I wrap this particular thing up. But it's your choice. It's not a boss's choice. It's not a client's choice. It's something that you own and control. And I just felt like that made it so much less stressful, you know, to work at home and have that kind of flexibility.
Yes. So you had a little bit of experience and you got a taste of it, and you really had in your heart, for you, it was owning your own business and having a freedom-based business, it sounds like, you know, to make your own choices. And,
right.
And also something, you know, you started something that, like you said, is very connected to your heart and personal for you. So, and the people that you're supporting and helping out there, it's pretty amazing. And so it's interesting, you actually work part-time hours, but this is your business, so it's really just, you know, it's you.
Right.
And so many women, and the reason why I'm doing this is because I think so many women, you know, we have that corporate mentality of how we are used to working in a 9-to-5 job, and then we have, you know, Monday through Friday, and then you have to come in at a certain time, and you have to end at a certain time, and you go to lunch at the same time, and, you know, we all have the whole situation. Some people's jobs are a little bit more flexible than others, but in general, that's really the way, you know, a corporate job works, or working for somebody else works. Like you said, you're on their schedule, and whatever they say goes. And so when we start to think about transitioning or want to go into our own businesses, a lot of us don't know how to schedule our time. And if you can tell a little bit about how it was for you when you first started, and then, you know, you can maybe move on to how you created something that works. Was there a difference when you first started? Was it a little more chaotic, or and then you found some harmony now that you've got a system that works, or did you move right into, you know, what you've got now?
Yeah, that you bring up such a great point, Ariana, because it's totally a different experience when you're setting your own hours, and I find that it's really easy for those hours to creep into your personal life. And I have to admit, I am still struggling with this right now. and it is a balancing act because you're at home and, you know, maybe you're working on something and then you go down or you go into your kitchen and you see the dishes there and you're like, oh, well, I'll just clean the dishes and then I'll go back to work. And there's a lot of distractions in the home that you don't have in an office. So it's a lot easier to basically get caught up in things that you wouldn't otherwise get caught up in an office environment. On the flip side of that, it's also really easy to just be so engrossed in your work and then not want to break from it, which is something that happens to me. You know, when I'm in the zone, I am in the zone, and I don't want any interruptions. And so I've definitely had to learn, especially when I first started out and was, like, entirely focused on just doing this for my business, I did struggle. It was chaotic. It was, you know, I was constantly on my computer. I bought a laptop, and, you know, my husband and I would be, we'd put the kids to bed at night, and then I would grab my laptop, we'd run downstairs and watch TV, but I would be working while watching TV, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, that, it was fine for maybe a week or two, but then, you know, my husband was kind of like, hey, what's, you know, this is our time.
Right.
You need to be sensitive about that. And now, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to put into place is being really specific about my day and breaking it down. And I'm old fashioned. I use a handwritten calendar. But I will, I'll have my list of tasks for the week, and I'll prioritize them. And then I'll actually write down, you know, the blocks of times for a particular day that I'm going to work on those tasks. And that has definitely helped me be more focused, more productive, and has controlled, I wouldn't say eliminated, but it has controlled that creep of time into my personal life.
Yeah, that's so important. I keep hearing that over and over again. And for myself also, is having a plan and a schedule. And also communicating your plan, you know, is a big deal. You know, if you have a special project, you know, keeping in communication. I don't know if you found this with your husband, you know, like you said, had to be like, okay, nighttime is our time. And, you know, but if have you come into where you've had to communicate a special, you know, project or taking time away from, you know, something maybe that you normally wouldn't have?
Yeah, that is such a good point because, again, another area that I'm constantly working on is communicating and saying, hey, I have to work tonight. My husband's gotten really good about this. In the beginning, we kind of had some arguments about it, but now it's kind of like if I say, I have to do some work tonight, and he'll say, how long do you think it's going to be? And it's okay, you know, in the beginning I sort of felt like I had to give him a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I later learned it was okay if I really didn't know. All I had to say was, I don't know. So what was happening was either I wasn't giving him a time frame at all, or when he asked, I would give him a time frame, and I'd say, oh, it's probably only going to take me an hour, when it was in reality taking me 2 or 3 hours. And he was feeling like, hey, you told me it was going to be an hour, you know. I wasn't really setting the right expectations.
Right.
And now, you know, we talked it through. Communication is so important. It's so important in business. It's so important to maintain that harmony within your family, too. And I've gotten better about, say, just coming out and saying it to him, but he's really good about asking. So I'm very, very grateful that he's intuitive enough to realize that I'm not always good with either communicating it in the first place or communicating it accurately.
Yeah, it's very important, and it, you know, whether it comes to a head eventually. So, and it's good that you've both found a better flow. And as your business grows, I'm sure things will change, and you'll create new structures and systems. And speaking of systems, I know you said you have a few things that you do already that you plan, like you have, you know, your days set that you're working in your business, and when your girls are home, that it's for them. So can you tell me a little bit about that? What other, if there's any other systems or the process that you have for maintaining harmony with your life and your business?
Yeah, you know, some of the things that I help, that help me be more efficient and productive, I actually depend on a lot of automation tools, like Hootsuite and Social Oomph for my social media marketing and my list building. I use things like TimeTrade to help me schedule my strategy calls and my consulting calls. I have QuickBooks to help me maintain my books, but also to see what's working in terms of generating revenue in my business. So these are all tools that save me time and they boost my profit and help me build the business in a more efficient and productive way. So those are systems in the sense of software and everything. As far as systems within, you know, kind of the household and the business and everything, my husband and I, we really try to sit down. It's supposed to be a weekly thing. It doesn't always happen that way. But but we try to kind of sit down and have a meeting and get our calendars squared away and figure out, you know, who needs to go where. Is there anything happening on the weekend? What are we going to do as far as groceries for the week? And really sort of just planning it out. I mean, I'm a planner by nature. And he's pretty good with planning too. So I think that helps us run our household more efficiently as well, to just sit down and dedicate that time to go over some of the things that need to get done with the house and what the timeline is going to be for that.
Mm. That's really important. I love what you said about the automation tools, because we're so attached to doing things on our own in our business, and, you know, sometimes we have to let go. I had a discussion with somebody else about the same thing, you know, letting go, and that comes to also letting go of things in the household too, you know, that they have their time and place. And that goes back to what you said at the beginning about, you know, distractions in the home. You know, the laundry might not normally seem very enticing to you, but you're sitting there and you're not really wanting to focus on your work. So you're like, oh, I have to do the laundry right this second. You never would have done that before. or it's, you know, because when you normally were home, those are the things that would have to get done.
Right.
And it's also a way to distract ourselves, or, you know, all dishes have to be cleaned, you know, and the truth is they don't, you know. A dish in the sink is not going to be, you know, the end of the world if it gives you the time to really focus on your business when it's time to focus on your business, and then you have time to focus in your household. And also, I'm sure when your daughters are home, you know, putting in a load of laundry while they're there is probably okay too, you know.
Right.
You know, doing the dishes while they're playing or whatever is okay, because that's home time, and creating that, you know, those times I think are very important.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, and I have to say that I've had to learn to loosen the reins on my own neuroses, because I do get, I mean, I actually have such a visceral reaction to clutter, and I was driving myself nuts trying to keep the house tidy every day, and it was creating stress for me. It was creating stress for my family, and I've gotten better about, I see this mess, I see this clutter, but right now I need to focus on the kids, or right now I need to focus on my work. This can wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this can wait. It takes practice, but it's worth it, because I'm now more accepting of it, and I'm not so cranky. So therefore, my family is not so cranky. And the kids are getting to the point where they can actually help me with some of this stuff now. I mean, my oldest daughter loves to go down to the basement and help out with the laundry and, you know, help switch it from the wash machine to the dryer, or help me fold, and I use that loosely, fold clothes and put them away. So they're definitely getting to that point where they're more helpful. They actually put their dishes in the sink now, and it makes it easier. And they are able to play independently now, so that I can totally do some of that stuff while they're at home and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah, that's very true and very important. And, you know, your daughters are younger, and all kids, even my 11-year-old, doesn't, you know, definitely she's in another stage right now, but they don't always follow rules. So if you've ever set any times that, you know, you've had to say, okay, mommy has to take take a phone call at this moment for whatever reason, or that you've set them a time frame of, you know, that you had to take care of something, even in the house or anything. And they don't always follow the way things are, I'm sure. And so how have you dealt with when, you know, you set your, you have your plan, you set your plan, you set your schedule, and you, and sometimes you have to do stuff while they're there. How do you deal with their, you know, not following the rules? Is there something that you've implemented that's worked for you, or?
Yeah, when they're non-compliant, I mean, it is really tough, especially with younger kids. It's just tough. I know it's tough, but it's just different with younger kids as opposed to
yes.
preteens and teens. But I find with my kids, you know, the impulse control is not really there. So if I need to be on the phone with a client, or I need to, if I need to be on the phone with anyone, basically that's business related, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to schedule that time when they're around, because right now they're fascinated and obsessed with the phone and they want to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of my clients know that I have young kids, and they're very flexible about that and everything. But it's just not professional to put the kids on the phone to say hi.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with something like that, I either have to pull in the support of my husband, if they are at home and I have to absolutely take a client call, or I, you know, I'll say, you guys can watch a 30-minute show. You know, one of their favorite shows is Wildcrats, and that'll get me that time where I can be away from them, and I can have an uninterrupted call. And it's really kind of understanding, you know, what their limits are, and kind of understanding their behaviors, what their limits are. You know, they're not misbehaving by being curious about the phone or anything like that. So it's definitely figuring out, you know, this is just the way a typical 4-year-old acts, or this is just the way a typical 2-year-old acts. So how am I going to deal with the situation, rather than, you know, expecting them to be quiet? I know that I can't expect that from them right now, at this stage of their lives. But there are certain behaviors that I do expect of them. I do expect them to be polite. I do expect them to be respectful. I don't expect them to be beating on each other, which every once in a while they do get into a tussle. And so when it comes to behavioral things like that, I think it just all comes back to communication. You really have to set boundaries. You have to communicate those things. And it's kind of the same thing for your business, right? I mean, you're setting expectations with your clients. You're communicating boundaries. If something goes wrong, you know, you need to get on it and talk about it and figure out, okay, you know, why is someone unhappy or having a tantrum or mm-hmm. whatever. You kind of need to get down to the bottom of why something's happening before just reacting and enforcing discipline. At least that's what I try to do with my kids anyway. My oldest daughter was going through this phase recently where she was having a tantrum before school, and she'd refuse to get dressed. She wouldn't eat. I'd get frustrated, and my energy would escalate. And, of course, you know, it becomes this whole cycle of escalation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what we both really needed was a timeout. And I don't mean from a disciplinary standpoint, but just time away from each other to cool off.
Uh-huh.
And one of those times I brought her to her room, and she was still flipping out and having her tantrum. So I brought her into her room, I put her on her bed, and I walked away for a few minutes. And I came back later, I sat next to her, and she's still upset and everything, but I just pulled her into my lap and gave her a big hug without saying a word. And after a while I asked her, you know, what's making you so upset? And that got the conversation going. And, you know, it is often sometimes something so small that kind of sets them off, but then we get so wrapped up in that energy and like, hurry up, we got to go, you know, why aren't you listening to me kind of pressure. And she's just a little kid, right?
Right.
So I'm learning that sometimes you just need to slow down and listen in order to get to the bottom of a particular behavior. And that's so true whether you're dealing with your family or you're dealing with, you know, things that are going on in your business.
I completely agree. And it's what you have learned and what you found works for your kids and for your family and for yourself and for the way that you guys are, you know, all together, your dynamic. And it's the same way with the business, like you said. You know, you've got to be in communication constantly with everybody. You know, it's not just about communicating with your clients or, you know, your virtual assistant and everything. It's about communicating with your husband and letting them know, and your spouse, and letting them know, you know, what's up, what's going on. And even frustrations, you know, they can be there for you. And your kids, it's so important. Communication. I was always a big believer in communication at a very young age. And because of it, my daughter is incredibly articulate, much more than a lot of her friends. And part of it is her natural way of being, but I also gave her the benefit, you know, of speaking to her sometimes. Sometimes you got to make decisions, and it just has to be that way. And, you know, you can't give them all the answers they want, you know, the why phase, and you have to, they want an explanation. And sometimes you just, you know, it's just that way. But, and also, you know, realizing that your children are also growing. You know, your girls are getting bigger and older, and your oldest one, you know, is going through different phases. And it's being flexible, and that's so important in your business also, you know, being flexible with the when things change and changing with them, and not, you know, we get frustrated, you know, that's normal, especially females. And, you know, but it's going with the flow and finding what works. I've heard that so much over and over again, but I love that you brought up communication, because that's one of my really big things that I want to impress on people, is that communication is key. And then, you know, there's one that we forget, is like, you know, checking in with ourselves. Like you said, you needed a little time for yourself. You needed to step away from the situation and just have your time, and then you came back and you were able to be nurturing, and you were able to be, you know, and to find out. But if you wouldn't have had that time away, you would have probably kept escalating, you know. And I find that for myself also. And I find that with my business too. Sometimes I'm staring at the screen and, you know, you push yourself too far and then it doesn't really get done and you got to redo it, you know. And so sometimes getting up, taking a walk around the block, or, you know, just walking around the house for a minute, getting another perspective, or standing in another room, I think is really important. So it's great. So you found what works for you and for your family and for your kids. And as they get older, it's going to keep evolving, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, hopefully, you know, they'll be able to help with a little bit more stuff. And you know, part of what drives me is that I want to set an example for them. I want them to, you know, to see leadership in action. So I'm looking forward to them growing up and seeing how I do my business and kind of learning those entrepreneurial skills, because that's not something that you learn in school.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and so I want them to have a strong role model, you know. I want them to learn how to make wise decisions for themselves. Well, of course, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and I know that there are going to be hard times, you know, they're going to struggle with certain things and everything, and I'm not saying that I want to eliminate that from them, because those are the things where we grow from that. But I want them to have a good example of of really being productive and being self-sufficient and being a leader.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's such. Thank you for sharing that, and I know they will get that definitely. Now you've given such great information, and thank you for sharing everything about the way you do things and how you make things happen and how you create success through being able to have harmony in your life with your business and with your family, and create the lifestyle business and the freedom-based business that, you've wanted and that you're in, still in the process also there of creating. Is there anything else, any other tips or anything else you would like to say to the listeners here about anything else you want to share about being a work-at-home mom?
Yeah, I actually have two tips for work-at-home moms, and one of them goes back to what you were saying. You have to really get serious about making time for yourself, whether it's like the example I gave about just taking a quick time out with my daughter, whether it's just 5 or 10 minutes in the morning while you're still laying in bed, or it's right before you go to bed, or, maybe it's booking a massage for yourself once a month or committing to a daily exercise routine. It's so important not to lose yourself in being a mom or being a wife or being a business owner or a daughter or whatever, being all these different roles that we are, right?
Right.
You've got to take care of yourself first, because you're responsible for your own happiness. And if you don't take it seriously, neither will anyone else. And when you're not happy, everyone else around you won't be happy either. So that would be my first tip is to really commit to making time for yourself. And then my last thought is that it really all comes back to love. When you love yourself, when you love what you're doing in the world, when you love your family, you're open to receiving everything life has to offer you. So make love your top priority.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Yes, more time for yourself. I'm looking forward to
it. And it's a challenge. It really is.
It is, and it's an ongoing thing. Moms, we get wrapped up in being moms and, the guilt and everything. And it's okay for dad to take over, and it's okay to call, a babysitter every once in a while. If you have family in town, even better. I thankfully can call my mom if she's in town and not traveling, and say, I just need some time. And actually, in the next few weeks, I'm taking some time, and I'm also going to be able, the beauty of having the business that we have, freedom-based business and a remote business, is that I'm also going to be able to continue some of my work, because it's not a real vacation, but it is a little bit of time away. When I go on vacation, I leave all my stuff. Like you said, full time for yourself, but this is kind of like a working vacation, and that's the beauty of what we do. And love and respect yourself and your family and everything. That is so true. It brings us such an openness, So thank you so much for everything. Now, I know you have a little gift for our listeners. If you want to just tell them a little bit about that, or
sure,
I'll be sending it to them.
Yeah, so my gift is my free report. It's called 7 Profitable Ways to Turn Your Story into Gold. And basically, in this gift, I reveal how you can use your personal story to supercharge your marketing. So whether it's using your story on your website, on your about page, or using it for a bio, you can create a video about your story. You can use it in talks and in training. So this is really kind of a rundown of once you've found that story, that personal story of you and why you do what you do, how do you get it out into the world in a way that's going to support and help you build your business?
Awesome. Guys, yeah, please, take a look at it and really take the time to go through it. It's such a valuable thing. Your story has so many applications, and you can reach out to Gail for more information on that and the free report. It's going to be coming to you shortly after this call. And I just, you know, I really want to thank you. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for being here with us. And I am Arianna R. Fernandez, your host, signing off until our next installment. Thank you so much for being here with us. And thanks again, Gail.
Thanks, Arianna.